You know, there's no easy way to do Jesus. I don't know if we are personally enabled to comprehend the spirit of Jesus or the intentions of Jesus, but we live in a cancer culture society that if we hear something uncomfortable or witness something uncomfortable, we're done with it. And we've done the gospel that same way. It's like we're trying to make Jesus candy for everyone, or sweet for everyone, or non-offensive for everyone, and the Bible and the scripture and this and Christian. And there is no easy way to do Jesus. And it's almost like we want to make Jesus, we want a lenient Jesus, and we want Jesus to show a certain leniency that we won't even provide for our own human relationships. We take away hell and we still find it hard to live for Jesus. We say no heaven and still hard to live for Jesus. We say, is it a sin to eat shrimp? And it's debatable on food and gluttony and homosexuality, and we're caught up in so many things. We want Jesus to be everything. And when Jesus walked the earth, he couldn't be everything. When Jesus had students, he couldn't be everything. There were people who literally walked with Jesus, and he was still not everything. Did he argue? It's like if we don't want a Jesus who argues. We don't want a Jesus who fusses. We don't want a Jesus to say, this is not right. We want a Jesus that's an everyman's Jesus. But even when Jesus had disciples, they didn't agree with him and they left him. There was a rich young ruler that came to him asking for life, for eternal life. And Jesus said, well, follow all of the laws. Don't kill or steal. And the gentleman said, I've been doing this all of my life. What else am I missing? And Jesus said, give away your riches to the poor. He didn't argue. He didn't fight. He didn't condemn him. But he told the gentleman something that the gentleman did not want to do. And the scripture said that he left sorrowful. Jesus told his disciples, eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you can't have any part of me. And they said, who can do this? This is hard. And they left him. 58 of them left him and never returned. So is Jesus the problem? Is the gospel the problem? Is the Bible the problem? Is the scriptures, are the scriptures the problem? What's the problem? Are we interpreting it right? Did we mean hell? Is hell temporarily? Is it a trash bin in Jerusalem? Okay, if we got that revelation right, okay, no hell. Okay, cool. God loves everybody. Cool. No matter what your sins are, you're good. Cool. God doesn't speak against sexual situations. Okay, cool. Well, what is the problem? Is it what God thinks, or is it what you and I think? What are we having a problem with? Is it the church? Is it tithes? Is it the law? Is it God or is it us? Is it something we're having a problem in? Is it the interpretation of the Bible? Is it the pastor? Is it institutionalized religion? Is it organized religion? What is the problem? Is it offensive? Who is it? Is it the pastors? Is it people who think they're saved that's causing a problem for everybody? Is it the church? Is the church the problem? Is Jesus the problem? What is it that we want to live? How do we want to live? Do we want to live with no one saying nothing about it? Is that the problem? The repercussions of opinion. Is that the problem? Do we want to live whatever we want to live? Okay, I'm going to go to work, work my hours, and get my check. But instead of them giving me the check, I want them to write somebody else's name on the check and give it to another employee. Will I raise hell if that happens? Or will I say, oh, it's no problem, just a mistake? Or am I angry because that's not fair? I work the hours, that's my check. I see, I pay my mortgage. I have the receipt. But I get a letter that I'm being foreclosed on, and I have the receipt of the payment. They said that I didn't make the payment, but I'm looking at it online. I have the receipt of the payments being made to the mortgage company. Well, I just say, okay, mistake. No, something's not right. It's not adding up. Am I just going to voluntarily give up my house off of their mistake? So that means there are some absolutes that must be held up. It's not a matter if it's fair or not. It's a matter of that's the condition. That's the system. If I work, I want my check. I don't want you to put somebody else's name on my check. It belongs to me. If I pay my mortgage and I have the records that I paid my mortgage, I don't deserve a foreclosure. I follow the law and the rule. I follow the natural system. But it's almost like we want a Jesus who doesn't have a system at all. There are some things Jesus is going to say that's going to offend you. Jesus is beautiful. But he's not going to treat us all beautiful. Jesus is fair, but there are some things we don't think are fair. Jesus is love, but there are some things that we don't take as love. We're not going to agree with Jesus. He was not made in our image. There are some things he does not want. There are some things he looks forward to from us. The issue is not the biblical interpretation of anything. It's not the phobias. It's not the sexes. It's not the traditions. It's not the churchianity. What do we want to live? How are we to live? Jesus is the reflection of our lifestyle. Jesus is the prototype of our lifestyle. Whether you call him Christian, Jew, radical or not, his lifestyle is the template for all lifestyles. His lifestyle is the template for all lifestyles. Do I agree? It doesn't matter. Do you agree? It doesn't matter. There is something offensive about Jesus to everybody. Is it how we interpret Jesus or how we interpret Scripture? Because Jesus offended people personally without a Scripture. Are we being offended by the translations or by the life itself? Are we not wanting the life itself? Or are we looking at the life through words? Are we looking at Jesus through words or opinion, or are we looking at the life of holiness himself? I'm Andre Fizer.